Welcome to The Roundtable. This is episode 97. I am Jenny Walker, the social media ministry leader here at Life Church. And this is Mike Hill. He is our lead pastor. And sitting in between us is Mariah Bigelow.
Hello.
Hey, you said it right.
I did. I didn't even mess up.
Did you practice?
I didn't mess up the whole time. No, I did not practice.
Yeah, when I saw her name, I'm like, that would be one Jenny says wrong.
No, I know. Well, I have said it wrong before. And I remember it because it's that movie, Bigelow. There's a movie.
Deuce Bigelow. The Mel Gigolo.
I appreciate that one, Jenny.
That's how you connected her name. Deuce Bigelow,
yes,
the male gigolo.
I didn't know he was a male
Mariah
gigolo.
Bigelow.
Yes, every time I thought of her in the movie. But no. I didn't know that was a gigolo.
Yes, that's okay. What the whole movie's about.
What?
Have you seen it?
No.
Okay. No. Yeah. I haven't
There's
seen it either,
but
I have an idea of what it might be like.
Whatever. That's not the movie I'm thinking of, though. There's a different Bigelow movie.
Either way.
There is.
That's the one that's the name of, or maybe you're thinking of the one Jason Bateman. And
it's like a kid movie.
Let's just stick with Deuce Bigelow, the male gigolo, because now we have Mariah Bigelow.
Mariah comes from a movie, too.
Mariah does?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
From Paint Your Wagon. It was an old musical. They call the one Mariah. That's
Paint Your Wagon.
Yeah, Clint Eastwood was in it.
Wow.
Yeah. In a musical?
Yeah, it's an old musical.
Oh, wow.
Clint Eastwood was in a musical?
Huh?
I've kind of lost all my respect for Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, back in the day. It's like, I think from the late 60s, early 70s.
Clint, I thought you were like this gunslinging cowboy guy. Now you're musical.
He had to start off somewhere.
He just lost his man card.
No, he had to. This was way back.
Way back.
Yeah.
I feel like you lose your man card maybe.
When you do a musical?
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I meant something too.
So, Ryan, tell us a little bit about you. What do you love to do? What's going on in your life? Give us the rundown.
Well, I have 5 boys, and I have 4 grandchildren, and I have another grandchild on the way.
Five boys. Are they around?
Two of them still live in Michigan. One is still at home.
Okay.
He's 11. And then one lives in Andrews, one lives outside of Marion.
Okay.
And so, yeah.
Yeah, so kind of close.
Kind of close.
Yeah.
You know.
Close enough.
I mean, spending time with family. That's a big thing in my life. You know, I love spending time with my grandkids. My grandkids are really close to the same age as my youngest son. So we have a weird.
How is that?
It's good. Sometimes it's hard, though, because it's, you know, I still have to be mom to him, but I'm grandma to them.
Yeah.
So, you know, grandparents are supposed to be nice and never mean, right?
Yes.
Yeah, no, that's the great thing about being a grandparent. You don't have to discipline them. You just let them do whatever they want, eat whatever they want, send them back home to the parents.
All sugared up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you might as well just do that with your 11-year-old.
Yeah.
Right? Sugar him all up, let him do whatever he wants to do.
No, I try not to.
Right.
Jane's good, though. He's really good.
Good. So other than family, what else is going on?
Well, we're opening a cafe in Andrews.
Yeah, in Andrews.
Andrews, everybody. Not Markle.
Is this like the grand opening?
It will be. The grand opening is going to be Memorial Day weekend. Last weekend of May.
Okay.
I'm going to do a soft opening mid-May.
Okay.
And just kind of, you know, make sure we work all the kinks out before we really announce it to everybody and advertise.
But, and what can we come and get?
Yeah.
Like coffee, food,
ice cream's going to be a big thing, but we're going to do more like old malt shop style. I'm going to have smash burgers, milkshakes, hand-dipped onion rings, hand-dipped mushrooms.
Pickles.
Wait a second. This is the, what do you call it?
The place to be is what it's called.
But I mean, it's the
malt.
Malt?
Like an old style malt shop.
Like malt milkshakes?
You know,
malt powder?
Like from the 50s and 60s?
Malt balls?
Do I look that old? Is that why you said that?
Okay, I know that you're about the same age as I am. I'm not even that old.
From the 50s, don't you know the 50s?
Like diners?
What's wrong with you?
Like diners?
You're a dinosaur from the 50s.
Yeah, whatever. I think we're probably close to the same age.
How old are you?
I'll be 49 this year.
Yeah, I'm 50.
So see?
Yeah. So do you just have some like, why... is that something you love? Is something that, is that your vibe? Like the 50s? Kind of,
that's my vibe. Oh, okay. Yeah. If I could, I think, have lived in a time era, that's when I would have liked to have.
You would have went back to the 50s?
To the diner 50s. Era.
Yeah.
Why?
Poodle skirts.
For one, family was just so much more important than it seems like today.
Okay.
And a different type of, I don't know the word, but just the way family worked. Like,
okay.
And women were, I don't know.
It was just simpler.
It was simpler. It was a simpler life. Dad went to work. Mom stayed home, took care of the kids, raised the kids. We were, I think, more, I don't know. I don't want to say respectful. That's not really
I think so.
But definitely, like, even how the way we dressed. We modest, were more modest. Yeah. We were more, I don't know. It just seemed like we put family first.
It's not modest now? People don't dress modestly now?
Yeah, completely modest.
Yeah,
so modest.
So you would go back to the 50s.
Yeah.
When people come, can they sit outside, sit inside, or is it just a...
Both.
Okay.
I have outdoor seating as well as have like the old, you know, spinny bar stools and, you know, the bar around the kitchen area. Plus we have tables. There's picnic tables outdoors.
Yes, I love sitting outside.
So what, again, I'm just curious, a mom of four children, right?
Five children, four grandchildren.
What entices somebody to be like, oh, you know, I'm thinking I'm going to open up a cafe malt shop. Like what's the why behind, you know?
Part of it. I mean, I always kind of wanted to have my own business of that, because that's what I've pretty much done majority of my working life is I've been some type of server, bartender. I've always worked in that type of service industry.
Okay.
But with the cafe, I have, especially in Andrews, we have nothing else there other than bars, right?
I was gonna say, isn't there a pizza place there or something?
Yeah, but it's a bar.
Okay.
And you have to be 21 to get in.
What's it called?
Kermit's.
That's what I...
Yeah. Kermit's. I've never heard of that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think it's like people have said, like, that's where to go get pizza.
Really? Is it?
Well, that's where Nick lives.
No,
Nick is the... Don't you live in Andrews?
No, we live in Huntington.
Yeah. I'm like, when did he live in Andrews?
You never lived in Andrews.
Heather used to work at Andrews.
Oh.
School.
So
okay, same different
thing.
Story.
Yeah.
No, it's not the same.
I was trying
thing.
To make you feel better. Okay.
No, I don't feel any better.
All right.
Yeah, so it's the only thing they have.
Yeah. That is right now. We did have another bar across the street, Bud Sports Bar. So once again, it's a bar though.
Yeah,
right.
Sure.
So I wanted something for family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That you can take your kids to.
Mm-hmm.
And spend time and have, you know, a good time and bring some joy.
Right.
I mean, ice cream brings joy, right? I mean,
and a big belly.
Yeah. Well,
brings both of those things.
Yeah. But you know, put a smile on your face.
Huh?
And with that, I really want to use it to spread, plant seeds to grow the kingdom.
Okay.
Have an opportunity to little children, other people that might not normally want to come to church or go to church, be doing things that kind of reflect back and Jesus's love.
Wow.
On people and just love on the community. I think our community, we're very small. We don't really have anything there right now. And,
right.
You know,
right.
To do some other things too, fundraisers for like the fire department and just kind of really give back.
Yeah.
But that's my biggest thing is to grow the kingdom.
Yeah.
Right. And it's a way to reach people that.
So is that something that's been like most of your life? Like you're super passionate about the Lord, super passionate about reaching people and. No?
No.
This is a lately thing? Yeah. Why are you laughing at me?
I'm just laughing because I know the story.
Oh, man. Yeah. Like, this is a lately thing?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How lately?
The last 6 months, probably.
Really?
Yeah.
Is where you've just been really on fire for God and...
Well, I mean, I did actually worked in ministry about 15 years ago up in northern Michigan. I worked for a church called Res Life. And I was passionate somewhat to them, but I think... My relationship with God then was tied to the church, the church. I had a relationship with the church more than I did my Lord and Savior.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now that I look, you know, and then there was church hurt that happened. Which
why does it seem like it's the theme of every person that's been on this podcast?
Yeah.
Because I feel like this is the church for people that have been church hurt.
For sure.
It is.
So I walked away, and I walked away totally from God, from all of it. And I've struggled with addiction my whole life, actually, since I was about 13.
Really?
Is when I very first started really using and drinking. And by the time I was 16, I was doing cocaine.
So let's go. So now, people are looking at you, you're on a podcast, you're super on fire for the Lord. Mm-hmm. You're not only excited about opening a business, but opening a business with purpose.
Right.
I mean, it's one thing, because even to see people who are on fire for the Lord, like, they're, I don't know what to do. And now you've even taken this next step of saying, like, I'm going to risk.
Yeah.
I mean, because opening businesses aren't.
Especially in this day, right?
Yeah, without, right now. Right. Aren't without huge amount of risks. And so I think it's cool. So people could look at you today and say, wow, look where she's at. Look what she's doing. She's taking steps of faith. She's on fire for God. She's going to try to reach people for the kingdom in a community that has nothing. But how did you get there? So let's go back to this place of, so when you were a kid, was this modeled to you? Did you grow
up? Oh, no. My parents were atheists. Okay. I never even went to church as a child.
Okay. Where did you live when you were a kid?
In Magnolia, Texas, most of my life.
Wow. I didn't know that they were atheists.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. No, I never. The first time I found the Lord, I was probably, and even like introduced to him or the thought of him. Let's see. I was pregnant with my 23-year-old now. I had filled out this like jar that how many beans are in it or something at a fair. And it happened to be for the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Really?
So a lady named Bonnie lived down the road from me, and she came back and forth to my house and we did Bible study together. That was my first experience. Now, I never went to church and I didn't even really accept
the Lord.
Because you won something from the jar?
Yeah.
And you didn't know that it was
for her? She won Bonnie.
Yeah,
She won Bonnie.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we got to think about this, right? Because we're talking about evangelism in the 21st century, right? Like, how's evangelism done? So here is, how old were you?
Well, I would have been 24, right? Almost 25.
That's when you were pregnant, right? You're saying that's when Bonnie was introduced to you.
That's so when Bonnie was.
You grew up in an atheist home, never introduced to the Lord at all, no thought. You go to a 4-H fair and you fill out a number of beans in a jar.
Yeah,
you were right?
Pretty much.
And you were open to somebody coming to your house discipling you.
Yes.
Wow.
So now tell me that's not amazing.
Yeah. No, it is.
Because I don't think anybody would think that's possible today.
Yeah. No.
You know, to show up at somebody's house and start. So how did it go? Like, and why were you open at that time and not before? Was it because you were pregnant? Was it because you're at a rough patch of your life? Why be open? Because, I mean, it can't be because of the beans.
Yeah.
No.
It can't be because of the 4-H fair.
You know? Honestly, I look back and I think that the Lord's been calling me for a long time to do things, and I just keep closing the door again on him.
Can I interrupt you? So, again, I want to make sure people hear this. You grow up in an atheist home, nothing about the Lord, but the Lord's still drawing you.
Yeah.
Now, oh, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Right? And people need to hear that, because I think that's the part
he's been.
Because people would have this thought that the only people who are drawn are the people that have seen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, people that grew up in a church and they just didn't care that much about it. You are preaching the gospel, right?
Yeah.
Because the gospel is that the Lord draws and we have a choice, right?
We
do. Even when you're far away, didn't grow up in it, didn't know anything about it, the Lord drew you, you know? And so at this point you're open. So Bonnie is discipling you. Bonnie's talking to you.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't, at that point in time, though, I wasn't ready, I guess.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, it took a few more years after that.
Okay.
And then that is when I started.
Married at this time? Not married?
Yeah, married to my ex-husband, though.
Okay.
So,
and he didn't have any interest.
No.
So he wasn't hanging out with Bonnie?
None at all. No.
He wasn't with Bonnie.
He was actually a truck driver and on the road all the time. And
okay. So he was gone.
Gone. Right. And so that might have been part of it, too.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you get
lonely.
Yeah. You know,
Yeah, Magnolia, Texas, they're probably in a lot of people.
Well, now I'm already in Michigan.
Oh, sorry. Okay, wait. So Bonnie's from Michigan.
From Michigan.
Okay, so now you're up in Michigan.
So now I'm in Michigan.
You meet Bonnie. Yep. You're married.
I'm married. Right?
How's it going? Not so good.
We're not married anymore.
Is that like a duh?
Yeah, it is.
During
that time.
But that was 20-some years ago.
Obviously. No, I mean, our marriage was pretty rocky. Like, I mean, we're both, I would say, at fault, because no marriage fails because of just one person.
Sure. Right.
But let's just say, I don't want to talk bad about, wasn't a very good husband.
Yeah.
Let's just say that.
Yeah. Right.
And he started a whole nother family on the other side of the United States, and that's how we ended up.
Oh, wow.
So we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, for sure. So you're going along, faith is introduced, but at this point you're like, I don't really want anything to do with it.
Yeah, don't want anything to do with it. So it's a couple years later. Then the Res Life starts the Saturday night service.
How old are you at this time?
Now I'm like 28.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm still...
One kid, two kids.
No, I've got two now.
Okay.
At this point. So I go to the Saturday night rocks church service, right?
And the it rock was, service?
Yeah, I know, it's a rock, like rock, like service? Rock, like
Christian rock music?
Like Christian rock and roll.
Wow. Yeah, that's what brought you there?
Yeah, that's okay. What brought me there. I loved it. It was like, that was my thing,
yeah.
Right? So kept going to church there, and then I actually, that's where I became a staff member. I was an administrative assistant. I did a lot of kids ministry, things like that. We kept growing. Mm-hmm. We grew maybe a little too fast, too quick.
Okay.
We started building a $4.5 million building to compensate for how big we grew. And we forgot what we were doing.
Oh.
Mm. We started worrying about the old mighty dollar.
Yeah.
And who could help us pay for that building.
Right.
And that's, yeah.
So again, in this part of your time at the church, saved, kind of saved.
Kind of saved.
Kind of no.
Kind of saved, kind of no. I'm still drinking then. And at that point in time, I was on prescription pills from the doctor, you know, yeah, but no, I look back and I didn't even really hardly open the word. Here I am, a staff member.
Right. Yeah.
I work at the church.
Right.
And I didn't even open my Bible and read it. I believed everything that my pastor told me.
Right.
Everything he said.
Yeah. So can I pry a little bit, into this situation? So here you are, you come. At this point, you are an addict, not an addict?
Oh, no, yeah. I'm an addict.
Yeah, so you're
already,
you're
drinking. I'm up and down. I'm drinking. I have now already, gotten past a couple times. I did meth. I was on meth. I smoked crack.
Right, but this is during the time that you're at the church.
No, that was a little bit before.
Oh, okay.
So now I quit doing that, but now I'm drinking and I'm got prescription pills from my doctor.
Okay.
Because right? That's that kind of that time area where you got a little bit of back pain. Here we go.
Yeah.
Right. Right. We're going to give you whatever you want. So
at this time, people who were in relationship, because this is the weird thing I think about church sometimes, is that people do church, but forget the main part, which is being in relationship with people.
Yeah,
right? So you go through the motions, you get it all going, you show up, you do everything you're supposed to do, but you're not in deep relationship with anybody that's saying, hey, Ryan, how are you doing?
Yeah.
What's going on in your life? Because I'm assuming if somebody was in relationship with you, you might be a good faker, but you can't fake it that much, right? Like you can't fake that you're struggling with drinking. You can't fake that you're not opening the word. You can't fake that you're not doing. Yeah. So was there not that relational base that where somebody could know enough about you to know how to help you through that time?
I would say, yeah. And then we...
And I'm not talking down about anything. I'm just bringing up
That's the problem, though, is we got caught up in, and then we focus so much on tithe and money and the building fund that we didn't care about anything else, and neither did anybody else.
Right.
That was our whole, the first 20 minutes of a message was tithe, building fund, give money. These are the scriptures. This is why you have to.
Right.
This is, don't order water when you go out to eat because you can save that money and give it to the church. I mean, it was this whole just obsessive thing.
I'm so thankful Life Church doesn't do that.
Yeah.
That drives me crazy.
Yeah.
And that's nothing against Life Church because I love it here, but now my relationship's with my Lord. So if
it should
this
be.
Was to fall apart, and that's where I messed up last time because I put everything on that.
Right.
Yeah.
So then when I got hurt, it all went away. Mm-hmm. I went right back into my addiction, really bad.
Right. So there really wasn't during this time, there was a pseudo relationship with Jesus, a pseudo relationship with trying to figure out how to get your faith right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But then church hurt happens. And was it just because the church only focused on money and so you're out, or did it just fall apart? Did the church fall apart?
Well, it fell really apart. My oldest son and the pastor's daughter were the same age and they got in some trouble together.
Okay.
And it kind of drew a line.
Mm. Okay.
And so...
The line being your son's bad and his daughter's good?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Yeah. So, puke. I mean, they're teenagers, right? I mean, yes. Teenagers are teenagers. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter who they're, but that's what happened. And so then we were pretty much shunned pushed out. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Still with your husband at this point?
Yeah.
Yeah. So church falls apart with you. Mm-hmm. You leave, you're out of the church, and then you say kind of a downward spiral. Kind of take us through this season.
I would say that now downward spiral. I mean, then I'm going to school. Like, I was going to college. I was working. I mean, things are like, I've always been a very high functioning.
That's what
addict,
I mean. So you're
no
functioning
matter
addict.
What. Right. That's just been
right.
Fast forward a couple of years. This is when he decides he's going to keep that family.
Mm. Okay.
Calls me on the phone, says he's not coming back.
You didn't know about it, the family, the whole time?
No.
Wow.
And at this point, you have two kids?
Two kids.
Okay.
I'm on my second marriage too, because I got pregnant my senior year of high school. That's where my oldest one comes from.
Okay.
And then things really fall apart.
Okay.
That's when I got really, really bad into drugs.
Okay.
To even like intravenous drug use. I was doing heroin, morphine, pretty much anything I could get my hands on. Mm-hmm. I get clean off of that because I got myself in a little bit of trouble. Clean for about a year or two, maybe right in there. Mm-hmm. That's when actually I meet my husband now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No.
Is there? I know, Ross.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then
you guys met at the recovery?
I have my girlfriend she was my roommate.
Right.
His brother's girl. They were boyfriend and girlfriend.
Got it.
That's how I met him.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Got it.
And so then we just, I don't know. This year we'll be married 13 years.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean,
that's amazing.
Yeah.
So take us through those 13 years and what started to transform to get you to the place where you're open to God working, you're open to change. Like what was the switch? Because here's what we're always trying to help people work through is that you had a calling, right? Yeah. So God calling on your life. You went into it. Kind of relationship, kind of not. It falls apart. You go through another stretch, right? Where
I kept, yeah. I mean,
God's
we both did. I mean, we both drank. That was like a big thing, mm-hmm. right? I mean, alcohol has probably consumed our life. And I think that's where I kind of rotated, got away from the really heavy drugs mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. went to alcohol because alcohol is legal. Alcohol is normal.
Yeah.
I mean, you look around and it's normal to drink every day.
Right.
Most people look at it and they don't think anything of it.
Right.
We kept spiraling more and more and more. And I mean, we were basically on the verge of divorce.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
I was literally praying. I still prayed to the Lord, but I was praying for death. And I kind of figured if I just kept drinking, I'd be dead in the next 3 years is where I was at. I finally decided that October, I was going to check myself into a rehab. Something had to give.
Okay.
So that's what I did. October 5th, I checked myself into a rehab.
What year?
This last year.
Okay.
And at that point in time, though, I'm still not really about God at all. I actually found a facility that was more dual diagnosis because they were supposed to help with mental health. And mm-hmm. I thought, and I guess let's just real quick. My mom was a schizophrenic, so that's a whole nother. Like, you guys could probably be on here and talk forever. But anyway, I go to rehab, though, and they put me on a medicine called Prestique, which is a very strong antidepressant and anxiety medication. Day three on it, I'm starting to slip into like a paranoid psychosis. By day four, I am full blown. I thought everybody in the facility wanted to kill me. I was about to back myself basically in the corner with pens, like from staff members, people that I was in there with. I didn't have any enemies in there. It wasn't mm-hmm. I could hear voices. By the grace of God, there was an intern there named Pam, and she took me with her into her office, and she reminded me that I'm the king's daughter and that God loves me. Mm-hmm. And he reached down at that moment. I just can't even say that. I reached up because I think he's always had a hold of me. And he healed me at that moment, took that medication reaction away at that absolute moment. Amen. And that's medically impossible. Mm-hmm. I should have had to wait for it to come out of my system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
Yeah, and I don't, I mean, let's just not pass over that.
No.
I mean, I want to make sure people hear what you said.
I mean, he full-fledged healed me.
Yeah.
And then in turn, he healed me from my addiction. Like, I have, like, as I've come back out now, like, I don't even, this is the first and only time I've ever quit and never been, like, white-knuckling it. You know, and I think if there's other addicts out there or people that are trying to quit and you're, it's, you always are constantly thinking about it in the back of your head. It's this thought, like, you know, fighting it. And I have not had to fight it.
Yeah. And I think the thing that people need to hear is that a lot of times we only talk about drug addicts or alcoholism, but there are lots of normal people that have what's considered normalized addictions, pornography addictions, money spending addictions, food addictions, you know, and there's not this, like, I can't ever get out of it. I can't ever get over it. I can't get by it. And I think it's important for people to hear two things. One, in the midst of all of this, God met you. You know what I mean? Like, you, he never left. No. He was always there. And as soon as you made a decision to allow him, he healed you. And so we still live in a world where God heals the sick. That God takes away the sin of man. That God can take somebody who spend a decent amount of your time in addiction, and and people need to remember this. You weren't chasing him.
No, right? He's been chasing me.
He was always chasing you.
He's been chasing me.
He has been walking with you, waiting for you. And for the people that are listening or watching, they need to hear that. Regardless of what your past is, God is pursuing you, and God is there. If we turn around, if we reach up, miracles can happen. And you're living proof that, you know, a miracle can happen.
So. And it did. There's like no tonight. And daily, he heals me daily. I mean, just the things he's shown me and taught me just in this short amount of time has just been amazing. I mean, and he never lets go of me. And, you know, it's just been...
So what happens? So you, again, God meets you. He heals you. Then what? Like, you get out of the rehab. Then what happens next?
Keep telling the story. I'm like, saying you're just being really
because you already know what's next.
Yeah, it's a really, really cool story.
Pam, while I was meeting with her, she, and I carry it with me. I have it a lot.
Because you were on your final straw.
Thank God for Pam.
I was on my first.
Good
job, Pam.
Right? Like, God has used many people in your life to try to get you to, like, or to let you know that he's, like, still there. Like,
still there.
Bonnie, and then Pam.
And then Pam. But she wrote me out the armor of God. Okay? And she was like, Mariah, read this. And keep reading this. So I carry this around with me the last 2 weeks. I'm in rehab. Then I get released. I get to go home. So I get out on a Sunday. Monday, I came to Sisters of Serenity.
That meets here.
That meets here
every
on a Monday night.
Oh, okay.
And then there is Discovery Life class on the board. And so we came. Now that first Sunday, we come to church, and guess what? Your whole message
was.
I have no idea.
Guess what it was?
The armor of God.
Was it really?
Yes. Yeah. Isn't that so cool?
And so I was like, okay.
Wow.
Okay, Lord, I hear you. I hear you.
Wow.
And I'm here. And so.
Wow.
Gosh, I love that story. Yeah.
That is amazing.
Isn't that amazing?
I mean,
know.
And it's, you know, people say, odd or God. No, it's always God.
Yeah.
That was God 100%.
Right.
Like, you know.
And when how he's putting the pieces together for you, you know, and that you are able to experience or see, you know, and just like we were talking Sunday, I mean, you, all of what you're saying is I've seen Jesus, I've seen Jesus. I mean, and you can just keep saying it.
Yeah.
And that's,
oh, yeah.
That's what a world of skeptics are looking for is people that don't have all the answers,
right?
You know, people that are going to explain it all away. People are just going to be like, I don't know what to tell you. I was in rehab. Pam invited me to my into her office, and I met Jesus.
And I met Jesus.
Right. And I showed up as Sisters of Serenity, and I came to a Discover Life class, and I've seen Jesus. Right. I show up on a Sunday, and God puts a piece together, and I've seen Jesus. Right. Like, it's just over and over again.
And
it's so awesome.
And he daily, I mean, between his word, man, just songs, like at times, like, you know, I'll start one song, like maybe on you, and it's like, you can just feel it. Like, he sings, you know what I mean? And just, I don't know how to explain it at times, but like, I know he's speaking to me.
Right.
And I hear him.
Right.
And it's just an amazing and it's this freeing feeling
right.
that I've never had in my life. Jeremiah 29:11-14 is really big for me. And I stand on that, you know, that I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, for your welfare, not your harm. So you may have a future with hope. And then, I always, the rest of it, I have a hard time, but
we're going to pray for he has a plan to prosper you.
Mm-hmm. He does.
And to give you hope.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, right. he already has. Yeah, that's just it.
That's what I mean.
And he has a big, I do believe in this whole time. That's why he's been like always chasing me because he has plans for me. I'm to grow the kingdom.
Right.
And I was supposed to start a long time ago and it's, you know, but I didn't. But this gives me...
That's your story.
That's my story, right? Mm-hmm. And so now I can look at other people, though, and tell my story and just keep growing the kingdom.
Yeah, and you can remind people that are listening and you can remind people that are watching that God's saying the same to them. I know the plans I have for you.
He is.
You know, and I have a plan. And I think that's what people miss. And the plan isn't to exist.
No.
The plan isn't just to show up at church. The plan isn't just to go through the motions. The plan isn't just to read your Bible. Mm-mm. I have a plan for you.
A plan for you.
Right. And this plan has been birthed since the beginning of time.
Yeah.
You know, since the beginning, since the time that you were born.
Mm-hmm. Before knit we you were together, born, while we're in the womb.
Knit you together in the womb. Right. I have a plan for your life.
Yes.
And how cool that no matter what we try to do to screw it up. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean that for you. No, I'm saying for all of us.
No, I did because I constantly was like.
Yeah.
For all of us.
Yeah.
Right. We make decisions to do our own thing.
Yeah.
And at some point, if we allow him, he's going to grab you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when he does, you know, and when we let him, amazing things can happen.
Amazing things can happen.
Yeah.
He can.
Yeah. Well, that's, I mean, it's super exciting because not only has he revealed himself to you over and over again, the story of God chasing, the story of you being open, their story of restoration, the story of healing, the story of, I'm not just going to take what he did for me and sit on it. I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to give back to the kingdom.
Yeah.
I'm opening up a, what's the name again?
It's called The Place to Be.
The Place to Be.
But it's like B-E-E.
Like a bee, like a bumblebee. Yeah.
The Place to Be.
Yeah, that's cute.
Yeah, and you're not going to sit on it. You're going to use resources. You're going to use what he's given you, and you're going to give back to the kingdom, and you're going to open it up, and God is going to reveal people's plans. That's what we keep praying for. It's like people are going to walk into a malt shop cafe and see the plan of God for their life.
Well, and on Sundays, we are going to be doing like a family style dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And so you come in and then at 11 o'clock, you're going to be on because I'm going to go ahead and have church on for live service.
People might not be able to eat. They're going to be like,
it's just another way, right? For people that might not, it'll be going, you know.
Yeah. No, I'm
just that little seed.
I'm really proud of you.
I know.
I mean, it's super cool to see people who, number one, can tell their story. Number one, are not ashamed. Like, this is what I went through. Yeah. God met me. He changed me. And this is my biggest thing. Yeah. I think there are a lot of people who have been changed and just sit on and don't do anything about it.
I want to share what he's given me because this is too good.
Right.
This is too good to keep it to myself. Yeah. Right. I mean, you know, if I could give it to everybody and they'd take it from me, I would gladly do it. Mm-hmm. And that's what's so, you can, everybody can have it.
Right.
You just have to go after it or lean back on him, give it to him.
Right.
Let go, let God.
Yeah. And you got to remember the people that are watching or listening, when this opens, I mean, this is the whole concept we've talked about forever is that you need to be on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
You need to. For somebody who's opening a business on purpose, we need to support businesses that are on purpose.
Yeah.
You can go to a lot of different ice cream shops. You can go to a lot of different places to eat. But when you go somewhere on purpose, God does things. Like he just does. It's not just about money. It's not just about selling of product. It's something happens when people make decisions to do it on purpose. So if you're listening or you're watching, be a part of it.
Go
to the cafe, be a part of what's going on because it's the gathering of people on purpose that God wants to use. And it the majority of the time, it doesn't happen just in the church.
Right.
Right. The gathering of people on purpose outside of the church, the fire is fanned and great things happen.
Church. Yeah. That's one of the things I like the first time we kind of really listened to you was that I'm the church.
Yeah.
We're the church. Mm-hmm. We're to be the church out in the community. That's right. How most people are going to come to see Jesus is right. How we are out in the world. And not everybody can come to church on Sunday and be, you're in your best clothes and you're on your best behavior. And right. That's easy. Yes. That's easy. Right. It's the everyday out there that we have to.
Yeah. And understanding the church's only role is to support people doing ministry.
Yeah.
Right.
People that are out there doing it. Fan the flames, keep them together, move them out, do the best we can. Yeah. Awesome. Jenny, questions?
Question time. Yes, we've got a good amount. I had a couple when we were sitting here too. So who knows how long this goes for, but here we go. The first question is from Sarah Jeffers.
Okay.
She wants to know, what is your favorite ice cream flavor?
Ooh.
It's a good question.
Well, mint chocolate chip.
Mint chocolate chip?
Yes.
Wow. Jenny, really, do you have a favorite?
Here's another.
Birthday cake. Are you going to have birthday cake?
It'll rotate out. We'll just kind of have to see. We are doing Bluebell ice cream, I believe, because I'm going to bring some of my Texas girl there.
Yeah,
there you go. Is that from Bluebell's from Texas?
Yes, from Bruno, Texas. I actually went there as a kid on a field trip in school.
Oh, my gosh. Well, their birthday cake is really good because they have, like, actual cake pieces in it. Yep. Yeah. Are you going to have dog ice cream cups?
That's a good. I've been thinking about doing something like that because, you know, I'm a dog lover, too. I have four dogs, too.
Yeah.
So,
and then I can sit outside with him and you can come bring them to me.
You're going to have to bring the dogs down too, because I only live like a mile down the road. You can bring them swimming in the pond.
Oh, they would love that. Yeah. They really would.
There you
go. My gosh. Good to know. I'm always looking for a clean pond.
Yeah.
I'm serious. The Forks of the Wabash is pretty sketchy.
Yeah, a little bit.
A green blue algae. All right. Cindy Marshall. She also told me that I got the place of your ice cream shop wrong. She's like, no, it is in. Oh, wait, hold on. No, I'm just talking about. No, it wasn't Cindy Marshall. My bad. It was Chris, but here we go. Cindy Marshall wants to know, what made you want to open an ice cream shop in Markle? But now we know that it is Andrews.
Yeah.
And where will it be?
Yeah, she's pretty bad. Didn't we talk about that in the beginning?
Yeah, it just kind of, honestly, God plopped that right in my lap.
Yeah.
He really did. He put it. We bought the house in Andrews, and then probably 3 months later, here comes the ice cream vault, this building up for sale. And at That's the same amazing. Time, my mom had just passed away the year before. I just sold her house. I was like kind of looking to invest this money somewhere. So I bought dirt because I don't want to invest in the stock market.
Yeah, amen.
So I bought dirt.
Amen.
You know, that's great.
And again, it was called, so for people that know the area, it was called
the ice cream vault.
Okay.
Okay.
So it was called the ice cream vault before.
Ice cream ball.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Karen Bennett wants to know, can you identify any major events or realizations that marked the turning points in your recovery? Which you had answered that with being in with Pam.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. Chris Jackson. She was like, I thought she told me that the ice cream shop was in Andrews. Please ask her.
Oh my gosh.
I love her sparkling personality.
We're gonna have to do a like reprint out there when you put the podcast out.
All right, Lisa Leist, what energizes her to smile so beautifully? I put this one that I took. I love this picture. I do.
I hate pictures.
Whatever.
That is one thing I don't like. It took her forever to get
No, it did not. It took me like 2 seconds to take a picture of you.
I just don't like pictures of myself.
She's being dramatic. It took me like a minute to take a picture.
I think that's part of the mom thing too. Cause as moms, like we're always the one behind the camera, lots of times. I don't know if it's
probably
taking all the pictures of the kids.
So they're the ones on vacation you never see.
Right.
Taking all the pictures of everybody.
Man, I'm just going to have to go back. Jesus, the joy that he is like, because if you guys would have met me a year ago.
We wouldn't have thought that.
No. Hmm. Oh, no. I was in the dark. Like
You weren't as bubbly and like how you are today.
I mean,
today.
Maybe I guess if I was super drunk, you might have caught me.
Yeah, that does make you bubbly, but not lit up.
Not like this.
Yeah.
Like this true inner, like this true joy and peace that I have. And no, life isn't perfect. And he never says it's going to be perfect.
Right.
But.
You have joy.
Man, it's. In this moment, this life is just a blink anyway. That's what I keep. Like, honestly, when you think about eternity. Right? Oh, I mean, our concept of eternity is, I think, very small.
Very small.
Like, I'm going to live, be married to you forever. I'm going to love you, whatever.
Right.
80 years, 90 years of this life. That's nothing. Like you close your eyes and open them.
Right.
Compared to eternity. So really,
Oh, yeah.
What is this?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Like opportunity nothing. Prepare.
Yeah.
Yeah. So time it's to get all ready. About. Yeah. Yeah. That's yeah. what.
It's all about.
It's awesome. All about.
All right, Gina Van Meter. She says, no questions. Just wanted to say that you are very cool and keep sharing Jesus. Congrats on the ice cream shop. It sounds like fun.
Thanks, Gina.
And I think this is all.
The ice cream shop in Andrews.
In Andrews. In yes, Andrews. Yes. In and Bree Sullivan. She also wanted to know what your favorite ice cream is, but.
Mint chocolate.
Yeah. Two forever. People wanted to know that. Those are all.
We're going
to
do a brownie, like mint chocolate chip sundae.
Ooh, yeah. You should do the Cookie Monster. So it's.
Jenny's got all kinds of.
I do.
Yeah, menu
it's
ideas.
Oreo cookies and chocolate chip cookie dough. And a fudge and everything. Oh, that it's so good. With some sprinkles. You should put some sprinkles in there.
Yeah, we're going to have sprinkles and different, all kinds of, because it is hand-dipped ice cream too, yeah. you know, so yeah. I just won't have soft serve because I don't have a soft serve machine, but
yeah, maybe you want day. A soft serve?
I don't know. Maybe one day.
I wanted a soft serve in my house until my belly kept growing. And I'm thinking, this is a terrible,
awesome.
This is a terrible idea. Like when we first moved over here, there was a Ponderosa.
Yes. So, wait, really? That was that time when you moved
right,
here?
Right, Nick? There was a Ponderosa in Huntington.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the whole idea was to go to Ponderosa, not for the food, but so you could
the
go
ice
to that.
Cream.
If I could put my mouth under that thing and just open it up and eat it.
You would be content?
Oh, it's a serious problem.
Yeah, it sounds
but,
like it.
Yeah, I got to not eat so much ice cream. So if you could get any words of wisdom to people, anything to anybody out there that is... Not even just struggling, people that are just out there trying to figure life out. Anything that you would say, hey, like, process this.
Don't give up. Look up.
Yeah.
That's a big, you know, just don't give up.
Mm-hmm.
Keep praying.
Yeah.
Keep praying. Especially, I know right now it's really hard in the world.
Yeah.
There's so much.
Yeah.
Anger and hate and negative
and,
going on right now.
Yeah.
I mean, it, you know, and people are being bombarded with it on every right. side from every, you know, it doesn't matter if you're Republican, Democrat, whatever. Mm-hmm. And just don't give up.
Yeah.
Keep praying. Keep spending time with the Lord. Spend time with Him.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of my things that kind of came to me this morning is that, you know, He's your best friend. Mm-hmm. Not only is he your Lord and Savior, but, you know, you think about that. And whoever your best friend is, you mm-hmm. probably text him every day. You talk to him every day. Mm-hmm. You, like, constantly treat him the same way.
Right.
Talk to him every day. Reach out to him every day. Tell him. Tell him how you feel.
Right.
And he will. He comes back. He does. I know for me, if he'll do it for me, he'll do it for you.
Because
I'm nobody.
Whatever.
Well, yeah, no, you're like all of us.
I mean, I'm nobody. I'm not any more important than anybody else.
You're a piece of the puzzle like
I'm
all of us.
All of us.
Yeah,
so just lean on him. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Give it to him.
Yeah.
Talk to him. Right. That's
like
my...
That.
Yeah, just
don't give
time.
Up.
Don't give up. And don't give up. Look up and don't give up.
Yeah, that's great advice.
It is.
Great advice. All right, Jenny, give them the number.
All right. The number is 260-408-8383. So you want to text that number and put podcast. And then after podcast, send your name. So that way we know who we are talking to. But the texting group that you can get on by texting that number and hitting podcast is... What we just read right now, the questions, I send out a text each week letting you know who is going to be on the podcast. And we give a little brief bio and we want you to ask questions. And yeah, we just want you to ask questions so that you can be involved and get to know her in a him in a different way than what we do when we're sitting down talking. But throughout the week, you can ask us questions. You can let us know if you know somebody that wants to be on the podcast or if you want to be on the podcast. Just anything.
Yeah. So for people to get on the podcasting group, that's what they do.
Yeah. So
text podcast to that number.
Yep. So unless you text podcast to that number, you will be just texting the number and won't get our text.
So for all our technically illiterate people, you put that number
text,
in
yes.
and podcast. Then in the little thing you put podcast.
Right. Right. So like if you're texting somebody, just... Instead of saying, hey, text podcast.
Right. And maybe that's something you could think about for the 100th episode.
Uh-huh.
Maybe people could send in questions for us.
You know, that would be fun.
You know, things that like topics.
Like you've ever wanted to, or things you want to know.
Anything. There will be nothing.
Controversial.
Anything. Ooh. There will be no topic that we won't discuss.
What about Darius?
Huh?
Dares.
Dares?
Yeah.
We ain't doing dares because you never do them.
That's not true.
Yeah. No, it's really
that's
true.
Not true.
People have the race.
Let's have the race.
Listen,
that's
there
right.
have been all kinds of dares you've never done.
Like what? Besides race.
Eating something hot.
I did.
You did?
Do you not remember? What?
No.
I don't remember that. I wish I had a clip I could pull up. Huh? I ate that hot thing, the hot oil.
Oh, no, I don't remember.
That's really sad because that was a good time.
No, well, like I would rather oil? Say
yes.
Any topic. Anything.
Controversial.
No, it doesn't have to be controversial.
I wanted to be able to ask.
Huh? Yeah, so if you want to get on the group,
that's a good
you
idea.
Can send it in for the 100th
that's
episode.
That's a good idea.
Also, if you're listening and or watching, don't forget, because this is what Life Church is about. Mm-hmm. So I want to make sure that... Right, your story is everything that we pray for. So what we pray at Life Church is that we're here just as a place to put people on display, where God has called them, mm-hmm. and then they go out and do. And then when that happens, God is put on display. Yeah. And it's so cool to see somebody who can recognize the church's role, which is just a role.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right, but you're going to go out into the world and you're going to say, God has called me to do. And it's not just... opening businesses. It's doing just doing whatever he tells you to do, but recognizing that's where the kingdom grows. Yeah. You know, the hour on Sunday morning is a great opportunity, but only to fuel the kingdom work that will happen throughout the week. So I'm thankful that you continue to give us hope that the church can work, right? Because that, for me,
the church is working.
For me, that's how I see church working. Yeah. Not whether we can gather, but whether we can send.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, and to see you take that and do that. And I think for anybody listening or watching, like, you need to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, part of seeing the kingdom grow is supporting people who are growing the kingdom, mm-hmm. you know? And so being a part of helping, you know, support the business, be a part of encouraging, be a part mm-hmm. of praying for, you know, we've already seen the power of prayer and what it can do. And so I'm just encouraged, excited. We'll be praying for you as listeners or people that are watching. We ask you pray and encourage you guys in your new journey. And we'll just love maybe 6 months from now, you come back on and give us an update.
I would love to, because that was one of my things. Remember I told you at the end, I wanted for my testimony to come out to be continued.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right?
Because it's only beginning of the things that God's going to, is doing and moving.
He's going to bring us a cookie.
Yes, and I will definitely.
Milkshake or a malt malt's are really good.
Yeah, so again, everybody that's listening or watching, don't forget when Jenny puts this out there, make sure that you share it, like it, comment. We'd love to see some of your comments. If you're if you're on our YouTube channel, we'd love for you to do comments there. And again, it has a lot to do with the algorithms that give us the opportunity to be able to grow, because that's what we want. Like we want these stories to not just be a part of this, but we want these stories to grow, people to know.
Yeah.
The way that happens is to share, like, comment, so we can get it. Yeah, subscribe. Get that out there to the world. So again, Mariah, thanks for joining us.
Thanks
all
for
you guys
me.
That are listening or watching, thanks for joining us. We'll look forward to seeing you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.